Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Westridge. Thank you so much for being here. This has been a unique week for all of us, and it will continue to be. And whatever it is that's on your hearts, we hope that you just kind of take a deep breath, and we know that our God is so much bigger. Today, Darren is going to kind of retool his message. It's called The Gospel According to the Coronavirus. And just to kind of give us some hope and direction, we are trying to keep you apprised of all of our things that are going on here at Westridge, what our stance is and how we can help and all these updates. So we are just, us and the leadership team, we're just trying to figure out the best way to do that. So we're trying not to be annoying in communications, but we just really want to make sure that you guys all are aware of that. We are not going to welcome each other, but let's just pray instead as we continue in the service. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you that you love us so much. Just help us have the peace, your peace, to give us renewed hope and wisdom. Help us find the strength you already carry within you to be enough for us. May the grace of you just be sufficient. May all of us find just this, a time just to kind of take a breath. And when things around us are feeling bleak, that we can just come to you. Help us grow in compassion over these next few days, these next few weeks. And help us to love well, not in spite of these anxious times, but because of them. Thank you so much, Lord, for loving us. Amen.
Well, good morning, y'all. I just want to thank the musicians for working hard and playing this week. I don't know about y'all, but I needed that this morning, so that's great. But what a difference a week makes, huh? I don't know about you, but it's been a really weird week for me. I was traveling. I was down in Austin and Houston during two of the biggest weeks of the year for both of those cities. It was the South by Southwest Festival and the rodeo in Houston, and both events were canceled. And so the hotels and restaurants were like ghost towns in the downtown area. And there was a really eerie feeling as I was flying out, you know, walking through an almost empty airport. It was almost like apocalyptic. But these are weird times. And I think that it's going to be really challenging to navigate. When you think about it, you kind of go, okay, so why is everybody so freaked out about this virus, right? And I think a few things come to mind for me. One is, I think that when you're in times like these, it forces us to contemplate our own mortality. We come face to face with our worst fears, and it's scary. I think secondly, it causes us to become just full of anxiety and worry. For a lot of people, it causes a panic because everything feels like out of their control because everything gets disrupted in times like these. And I think for others of us, we can, you know, there's a lot of us, we can foresee that this thing is also going to put a financial strain on a lot of us that's going to make things pretty stressful going forward, at least in the near future. And so it's all really scary and understandable when you think about it. And it appears that we're only in the first or second inning of this thing. So there's definitely more to come and a lot more unknowns. And so, as Danielle said, instead of doing the message that I had prepared for today, I decided to pivot and do a message entitled The Gospel According to the Coronavirus. As we begin to wade our way into the deep end of this crisis, we're all going to be facing some serious challenges and decisions that we're going to have to make on how it is that we're going to walk through what it is that we're about to walk through. And the decisions that we make, the choices that we make, will make a difference and could have a lasting impact on not only how we walk through this, but also on how we live our lives moving forward. So I've selected a passage that I think can help us to navigate through these difficult times. And it's letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the Colossians in chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And Paul says, look, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which bind us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from God rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always be thankful and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So from this passage, what I'd like to do this morning is to lay out what I think are four critical choices that we are going to be more than likely faced with during this pandemic. And if we can remember the gospel according to the coronavirus, I think that we can walk through this thing in a much stronger way than we would without it. And the first choice I think that we will have to face is to choose compassion over selfishness. Verse 14 says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which bind us all together in perfect harmony. I think in times of crisis, we can lose perspective and get a little self-centered and focus in on our own needs, sometimes to the point without even knowing it, sometimes to the point of even brushing aside the needs of others. A great example of this is the great toilet paper crisis of 2020. This may even be a worse crisis than the pandemic. We don't know yet, but how many of you have been to the store this week desperately seeking toilet paper? Just a few of us, maybe. Apparently, there were those of us who, you know, went out as soon as the crisis hit, and they went to buy every little bit of toilet paper that they could get their hands on, thereby depriving many of us of having good quality toilet paper during this time. And you just kind of go like, you know, what were they thinking, right? And so for me, I couldn't help but, since it was fresh on my mind, think of the passage that we read last week from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus tells the story of a certain rich farmer who had this incredible crop and he didn't know what to do with it. So he said, I know what I'll do. I'll, you know, tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And, you know, and then God said, hey, this very night you're going to give your life. So I thought I'd reimagine that story to say something like this. And so as he pulls into his driveway coming home from Costco with a trunk full of toilet paper to see that, only to find that he didn't have enough room in the linen closet to hold it all. And so he says to himself, I know, I will tear out all of my existing linen closets and I'll build bigger ones. And I'll say to myself, hey, you have enough toilet paper stored up for you for many years. Take life easy. Social distance, self-quarantine, and enjoy life for a long time. Now, I know that that's a bit ridiculous, but it does prove the point in that text that, you know, there are moments like these when we get into that preservationist bunker mentality that we talked about last week, where we go into survival mode and decide, I'm going to take care of me and mine. And that's all I'm going to worry about. That I'm going to focus in on making sure that me and mine are financially secure, that we're comfortable, and it's an incredibly self-centered approach to dealing with crisis. There are two types of people in the world, oversimplifying it, but there are givers and there are takers. And instead of walking through this crisis, grabbing everything we can for me to make sure that I'm okay, we instead clothe ourselves in love, as the Apostle Paul says, and seek to look for opportunities to serve other people, to enhance their lives. And we don't even know what those opportunities look like just yet, but we know that they're there, even if it's just something as simple as sparing a square. That's just for all you Friends folks there. The second choice that I think that we're going to be faced with is to choose faith over anxiety. In verse 15, he says, let the peace that comes from God rule in your hearts. So I'm going to share a very personal and fresh story with you that just happened. I've spent the last 2 years working on one of the most significant deals of my career. I spent over a year trying to get all the approvals through the city of Chicago to get this development done. And through the whole thing, we've spent a lot of time and a lot of money invested to get it to the point that we could move it forward. And I spent the last few months after we got our approvals out there raising money to get this project done. For me, my projects rely on Wall Street money to be able to fund our developments, to partner with these guys. And so in spite of a lot of obstacles, I was able to get my first pick of funds that I really wanted to partner with on this deal. They agreed to move forward. They had several approvals that they had to get through. We made it through all the hurdles, and now all that was left was the final board approval. Well, I remember joking 30 days ago when they told me that the final board approval was set for Friday the 13th. And I was a little uneasy, and I joked around that I was a little uneasy about that date being the date that my whole professional career would be hinging on for approval, and we all kind of laughed about it. But there was no laughing on Friday morning when I woke up, and by 6:30, I had my inbox full of emails from guys who were taking the presentation into the board for approval, asking me to give them more assurances that this project would be unaffected by the coronavirus before they walk in to present to the board later that morning. And so we decided to jump on a conference call at 8:30 that morning and, you know, just to go over what we believed were the barrage of questions that they would get from that board. And at the end of the call, I told the guy who was responsible for walking into that presentation and presenting my project to the board, you could tell he was pretty stressed out. And I said, hey, look at the bright side, right? It's Friday the 13th, the day after the worst collapse the stock market has seen since 1987, and on the very day that the President of the United States is going to declare a state of emergency because this thing has gone pandemic. I said, it should be a cakewalk, no problem. Well, the entire rest of my day was really just dealing with one fire after another, things that you couldn't even imagine that would be impacted by something like this. And I'll just tell you, like, if I'm honest with you all this morning, I'm pretty stressed out. And I don't think that I'm alone. Because while I think that there are a lot of us who, if we haven't already been affected by this disease in some way, we will all be affected in one way or another, whether it's physically, whether it's emotionally, whether it's financially. I think there's definitely about to be an economic downturn, and many people will probably lose their jobs. Things that we couldn't even have imagined that will impact our lives in a significant way. And so we have a tendency to become full of anxiety and worry about all of the what-ifs of the worst-case scenarios. And in Philippians chapter 4, Paul writes this beautiful passage, and he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." In the Jewish tradition, there is a beautiful word picture of what it looks like to be a person who's relying on God. And the word picture is an image of a person who's walking through the middle of an open field. And as he gets about halfway in, he sees a huge storm is about to blow in, and he doesn't know where to go. And all that he can find is one lone tree standing there in the middle of the field. And so this person runs for the shelter of this tree and holds on so tightly that they literally wrap themselves around this tree. And as the winds begin to blow and as the storm hits, this person remains there strong, standing there dry, safe, and secure, holding tightly onto that one beautiful tree. And that's a picture of what it looks like to hold on to God when the storms of life hit. I don't think that God wants us to walk around with our head stuck in the sand and pretending like, you know, everything is fine and everything is great with a fake smile plastered to our face. But rather, that we could, in the midst of the dark times, have this unexplainable, sustainable sense of joy, knowing that when the hard times hit, we're not out there in the middle of the field alone. That we have something that we can hold on to. And we are holding on to God so tightly in those times of fear and anxiety that you know that God will give you whatever you need to make it through. Whatever it is that you need to walk through what you have to walk through. And in the middle of the chaos and the craziness comes this calming peace that comes over you that you can't quite describe. I think the third choice that we're going to be faced with is to make a decision to choose humility over arrogance. Verse 15 says, as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And earlier it said to live in harmony. I think that, you know, this is an issue that arises in situations like this because I think a lot of us sometimes can kind of be, all of a sudden become the experts and we think we know what's right and we draw lines in the sand and we get all entrenched in our view of things instead of having grace for other people's opinions. I love what Greg said in the video that got sent out over the weekend where he just said, you know, in times like this, there is no right or wrong. It's in times like this that we react in situations with the best wisdom that we can muster, and we make decisions based on that wisdom that we have with the information that we have available to us. And I would take that one step further in that we also then need to respond with grace if others react to all of this in a different way than you do. Recognizing that the decisions that you make for you and your family may be completely different than the decisions that your neighbors or other people that you know make, and it's okay. I mean, this happened just this week. Our daughter threw a little party on Friday night, and one of the girls she invited couldn't come because her parents have made the decision that their family is going to self-quarantine and they're not leaving that house until sometime after the 1st of April. From my standpoint, it's a pretty dramatic decision, but I totally get it. And I respect the decision that they make for their family and completely understand it and get it. Even my wife and I, we don't agree on everything on how to handle all of these things, and we have these little, what I call, Corona disputes. But at the end of the day, we still love each other and respect each other's opinions. The church here, we're going to be faced with making some decisions in the coming weeks about how to handle this that isn't easy for any of us. And even just being open today was very stressful for our leadership team trying to make that decision and balance it and weigh it. And it'll more than likely be a week-to-week thing on how we handle this all together. Do we, you know, stay open? Do we shut it down? And, you know, there's, for some people, it's a no-brainer. Yeah, you need to shut down the church until this thing blows over. And then, you know, you have a guy like me who's a pastor's kid. Man, that's anathema. You don't shut down the church for anything. My dad would be rolled over in his grave. So, you know, there's different points of view, and I think that we just have to, you know, use the best wisdom that we have and understand that there may come a day in the not-so-distant future where the streets of Elgin are just as empty as the streets of Milan, you know, are right now. We don't know. We don't know what's coming our way, and so we would just ask that you would pray for us, that we would have wisdom in the decisions that we make in the days and weeks to come, and you know, if we, you know, decide to stay open, and you decide, and obviously, a lot of people have made the decision not to come, and that's okay. Completely respect it, and get it, and understand it. But the bottom line is this: through this all, through what we're about to face, tensions, you know, happen. People get stressed out. People get agitated really easy. And I would just ask that everybody just take a breath, take a moment, and really give grace to people through this time, because when people get stressed out, they get pushed to the brink and make a lot of decisions and do a lot of things that normally wouldn't happen. There are a whole lot of unknowns, and I would ask that we just give each other a lot of grace as we do the best we can to navigate what we're about to face. And then I think the fourth one, decision that we're going to face is to choose gratitude over resentment. In verse 15, the Apostle Paul says, "And always, no matter what you're going through, always be thankful." And I think that, you know, it's really easy to get into a resentful cycle where we're upset about the disruption and the things that are happening and why me. But in spite of what's going on, we still have a whole lot to be grateful for. I mean, first and foremost, we should be grateful that we are so blessed to live in such an amazing country as the United States, where we have the advancements in medicine and we have the healthcare professionals that we have available to us, who are always available to us, and the care that we have is amazing. We have a lot of first responders and healthcare professionals that are here as part of Westridge that we just definitely want to pray for them in the weeks and months to come, because they're going to be stressed as they're out there on the front lines. But we need to be grateful for all of that. We also need to be grateful that even though this is a very serious pandemic, it appears, at least in the preliminary stages, that this thing seems to be a shorter-term thing. And so in the not-too-distant future, whether it's weeks or months or whatever, it appears that we're going to be able to eventually get back to life as usual. And it's not one of the more serious pandemics that, you know, what has been feared. So, you know, we're grateful for that. But most of all, I think we should be grateful that whatever it is that we have to face down, that we have a God who has our back, and that we're able to hold on to him so tightly, and he's helped us to get through what we need to get through. So we have some decisions that we're going to be facing in the weeks to come, and I just pray that we will all just make wise choices about the way that we navigate this thing, that will have not only, I think, positive impacts in our own lives, but also on the lives of people around us. I think that it's in times like these that, you know, we finally get that we are not as strong as we think we are, right? When things are going well, we get very emboldened and empowered about, you know, and independent, and you know, it's all about me. And I think in times like this, we realize we're not strong. We have zero control that we thought we had. And it's in those times that we understand that we need God. And I think that when that happens, when a disruption of life happens like this, that God is finally able to get through to us in ways that he wouldn't be able to get through to us at other times. And so it's important that as we have this time of disruption, that maybe we embrace that. And when we couldn't hear God through all the noise of the daily grind of our lives, that we can stop long enough and just listen and be still and know that he is God. And we, in those times, develop a peace and a strength that you can't quite explain. And through it all, we can stay grateful that we have a faith that we can hold on to that is strong enough to sustain us in the dark times. I love the way that the Apostle Paul ends this passage when he says, "And always be thankful and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts." And I was really thinking about that, and it really impacted me, because I think this is best summed up by a video that I saw this last week. I don't know if you saw it, the one that came out of Italy, where Italy has now become ground zero for the coronavirus, and social distancing is very real because everybody is quarantined in their apartments and in their homes, and the streets are literally just empty, and people are going stir crazy because they are stuck inside their homes. And the thing that we've seen is there is still this inner strength and desire to overcome in the face of adversity. And so in the midst of this devastation that they're experiencing and the fear and anxiety that they are right in the middle of, all of a sudden, it's like this good old-fashioned Italian revival is breaking out on the back porches and alleyways of the homes around Italy, and it looks like this. On beat, but there is a beauty in that. I mean, I think that we are hungry for community, and we can fight it, we can talk about it, but there is a hunger for community to be in sync with each other and to have that kind of harmony. And I would just ask that God would give us the strength to be able to sing together, even in the darkest moments, whatever comes our way.